We've been looking through the book of Isaiah. For some, the greatest of the prophets. And it's been a great journey so far. We're up to Isaiah 11, so do please keep that passage open as we have a look at it together. One of the things that's been very clear in Isaiah, though, is that as we go through chapter after chapter, Israel needs a reset. Israel is not doing well as God's people. Now, we're all familiar with the idea of a reset, yes? So a reset means you start again. If we're talking about our computer, well, it's really a last resort. It means, I'm given to understand, you restore a system to its original state or default settings. It clears the device's memory, terminates running processes, and resets to factory settings. Justin, does that sound right? Good? Ah, I got that off Google. I don't know what it means, but... Our world needs a reset. I don't have to argue that. You just have to turn on the news, and the news will reach you. Even if you live in a $10 million mansion in Vaucluse, the reality is there. It's not good. But it's worse than that. Because we all need a personal reset. If you don't believe that, then you are in serious denial. Maybe you haven't tried to love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, so you don't understand how hard it actually is to do that. Or maybe you haven't tried to follow Jesus faithfully as his disciple, which is the same thing, and failed. And therefore you don't know how corrupt your heart really is. Now Isaiah 11 is all about God's great reset. A reset for his world, a reset for his people. And it starts with a new king. And then there's a new creation. Then there's a new redemption. And finally, there's new life and new hope and new freedom to be found. And we know that that's to be found in Jesus Christ. So we come to our first point. Reset a new king. We're looking at 11 verses 1 to 5. Because God's reset starts with the new king, God's king, the God king, if you like. You could think about this new king as God's reset button. There had to be a new king because the old kings of Israel had gotten so bad. They started well with King David, a man after God's own heart, but then you had Solomon, and further down the line you got, the worse it got, the more disappointing David's descendants became. Last week we learned about King Ahaz, remember? And that's from Isaiah 7. Ahaz was invited by the prophet Isaiah to fear God and trust him, and even to ask God for a sign. Come on, Ahaz, ask for a sign. We'll show you how serious God is about helping you. But Ahaz feared the kings of Samaria and Damascus more than he did God. And he decided to trust in Assyria for help. So Isaiah prophesies a great reset. And it would start with a new king, the God king. However, the promise comes to us in quite strange language. And so I want us to look at the language for a moment and understand what it means. So we're looking at verse 1, Isaiah 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. What on earth is that talking about? Well, who was Jesse? Jesse was King David's father. So what this means is a reference to Jesse takes you back before God called David to be king of Israel. It's almost like we're going to jump over the kings of Israel. What then is the stump of Jesse? Well, it means the line of kings that came from Jesse is going to be cut down, like a tree gets cut down. Their kingship will end. And yet that's not the end of this story, even in this first verse. there will be a shoot that comes forth from the stump of Jesse. And this means that God will bring something new out of what looked to be a dead stump. Now, if you've ever been in the bush straight after a bushfire, you'll know what this looks like, because all the trees are blackened from the bushfire, but then within a matter of weeks, green shoots start coming up out of the stumps of the trees, and you realize that there's new life on the way. Well, in this case, the shoot from the stump of Jesse means a new king for God's people, a branch that comes out of the roots of Jesse. And it shall bear fruit, we read. It's a symbol of new life coming. Now, this side of the New Testament, the fulfillment is really, really obvious. The line of kings that traced their ancestry to David was cut off with the Babylonian invasion in 586 BC. David's descendants would never rule Israel again. But out of David's descendants, that is, out of the line of Jesse, his father, Mary gave birth to Jesus, the God King, the Messiah, Jesus, the branch that grows from the stump. Now, this was Isaiah's consistent message all the way through. So Isaiah 7, we remember reading, "The Lord will give you a sign, a virgin will be with child." Then Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father even, Prince of Peace." It's all about the same person. So God's reset begins with a new king, a new Messiah. What will this new king be like? Well, verses 2 to 5, we're still in chapter 11. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. With righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth." Well, first of all, how different from Ahaz, who refused the wisdom and the Spirit of the Lord and would not inquire. How different to the kings and the rulers of earth. This king, this God king, is not in it for the salary. He's not in it for the opportunity or for the power. He doesn't care for his own name or his own fame. He does not grasp for himself, but makes himself nothing for the sake of the poor and for the sake of the meek. No need for ICAC. It's abolished at this point. Now, later in the book of Isaiah, this same character, this new king, is developed in four songs, and we call those songs the servant songs. Then when Jesus started his public ministry, he quoted from those very songs. But all those songs are about the same character. Jesus quoted, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." You can't help thinking about Jesus' baptism. "Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, liberty to the captives." Luke 4:18. Jesus very clearly takes on this role and this persona himself. Jesus, the new king, the Messiah of God, who will reset everything. God's great reset button. So, next question. What does that reset look like? How far will it go? Brings us to point two. And we're looking at Isaiah 11, 6 to 9. And Isaiah jumps directly from the new Messiah to the final new creation. Now, this is not a timeline. This is telling us what is the inevitable end once the new Messiah is appointed. And what does it look like? It's the dawning of a new age which comes with that God Messiah. It's a new Eden in the way that it's described. It is paradise. It's a return to innocence. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. And the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Every scene here is a children's safe ministry nightmare. It's like you take the kids to the zoo and suddenly you realize they're on the wrong side of the bars, they're in the cage. Scary. A little child leads the lion. The nursing child plays with the cobra. But no, it's all just fine. Because the earth shall be full of the knowledge of God. That is to say, the earth will know its true master once more. See, just as Jesus calmed the storm and walked on the sea, the creation will again serve God's purposes for the good. That is, for life and protection for his people. And when you see Jesus' miracles, you catch a little glimpse of that. A little glimpse of what must come in the future. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. But this raises a huge question for us. How can we be part of that new creation? And that brings us to our third point. Reset, a new redemption. And we're up to verse 10 to 16 in Isaiah 11. Redemption. Now, redemption is a word that literally means to buy back. Gentlemen, just imagine for a moment, you accidentally sold your wife's jewelry. What are you going to do? Not a good scene, is it? Well, I reckon you'd be off to the shop and you would be trying to buy it back, wouldn't you? Yeah? Well, that's redemption. You want to redeem the jewelry. You want to buy it back. Redemption in the Bible is the story of God's love. We sold ourselves to the devil and to death, but God has paid the price to bring us back to himself because of his love. And of course, this is the message of the cross. In the Old Testament, God redeemed Israel out of slavery in Egypt. That was the great picture in the Old Testament of the redemption of God. We call that the Exodus. In our passage today, Isaiah 11, it looks into the future and sees a new Exodus, a new redemption for God's people. But this time it's not just from Egypt. This Exodus is going to draw people from all over the world. Now, there's a question in the background here. When will this take place? And both verses 10 and 11 start with the phrase, in that day. Now, that's an important phrase. Just hold on to it for a minute. In that day. We're going to keep coming back to it. See, what day are we talking about here? Well, the obvious answer to that is, this is the day of the new creation, when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. We've moved straight from new creation into that day. Verse 10, in that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal for the peoples. You get the same in verse 12. He will raise a signal for the nations and will assemble the banished of Israel. So this is telling us the Messiah will be like a signal, like a beacon in a dark place, like a lamp in the window of a cabin on a dark night where you're trying to find your way home. And it sounds like the present, doesn't it? And who is the Messiah going to be a beacon for? Well, not just Israel, but for the nations. And you can't help but think of Jesus who said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 8:12. So we come back to verse 10, and it says, "Of him shall the nations inquire." Again, it sounds very present, doesn't it? See, in the Old Testament, faithful kings would inquire of the Lord to see what they should do. You read it again and again. This, of course, is exactly what Ahaz refused to do. He was offered, "Inquire of the Lord, even ask for a sign, the Lord will give it to you." Ahaz says, "No, I won't do it." But you see, here in this prophecy, the people of the nations will inquire of the Lord, which is exactly what we do when we pray to our Father through the name of Jesus Christ, is it not? We inquire of the Lord. And then you come in verse 10, "And his resting place shall be glorious." And where is Jesus' resting place? Certainly not in a rock tomb, no glory there, but Christ is risen to glory, seated on the throne of heaven, and there he rests from his labor and his work of redemption. Now that sounds very present, doesn't it? Verse 11, "In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time." You see, once he extended his hand out over Egypt to bring his people out, now he will extend his hand where? Well, we get a list. "To recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea." That's us, just by the way. And this list takes us all the way back where? It takes us all the way back to the Table of Nations in the early chapters of Genesis. That is to say, these are all the descendants of Noah. All the earth, all the nations, people will be redeemed from every corner of the world, brought back to God. So there you have it, a new Exodus, a new redemption for God's chosen. So, as you're asking yourself, when is this day? Is it in Christ's return with the new creation, the wolf will lie down with the lamb? Or is it talking about Jesus' death, his resurrection, and the gospel mission to the nations? We seem to have slipped from the future back into the present, and the answer is yes, that's exactly what we've done. When Isaiah said, "In that day," he did not separate Jesus' first coming from his second coming, as we do. That day simply refers to the day of the Messiah, the day that he would come in judgment and salvation. In fact, we know, in hindsight, that day would last for more than 2 millennia. So in the New Testament, it's called the last days. Sound familiar? Now, this was not revealed to Isaiah. This was only revealed with Jesus. And we are living, therefore, in that day. We are living in the last days. We are living in the days of the new creation. The reset button has been pushed already. And that day has been drawn forward from the day of new creation of the earth to Jesus' cross and his rising to the throne of heaven. We are already a new creation as we have put our trust in Jesus Christ, follow him. It's all started. So we come to the fourth and final point, reset. And it's all about a new hope, a new freedom. Where are we? Where are you? Answer, you are. We are smack in the middle of that day. It is the day of Jesus' glorious resting place. He is no longer in the tomb. He is risen. It is the day where Jesus judges the nations because he is seated on the throne of heaven and judges in righteousness and truth. And one day will return, and with him will come justice and his vengeance. It is the day that Jesus has become already a signal to the nations, reaching out his hand to bring about a second exodus, a greater exodus, a resurrection for people from all the nations. And it is the day that must end, therefore, with a complete new creation, when the lion will live with the lamb. When a child could play over the cobra. And all of creation will again come under Jesus' rule for the protection and the safety of his people. Sound good? It is good. And it is ours as we put our hope and our trust in Jesus. But brother and sister, friends, it's not good if you haven't yet put your trust in Jesus. Because you're not there yet. And the only way into that day is through faith, trust in Jesus, believing in his cross for the forgiveness of your sins, that he died in your place, that he is actually raised from the dead, seated on the throne of heaven, one day to come again, the ruler of heaven and earth. See, he is the reset button. Friends, this is our assurance of the truth of the things said in Isaiah 11, the truth of the things that I have just explained to you. Consider this for a moment. How could Isaiah have spoken this 700 years before Jesus, except by the Spirit of God? And how can you account for the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy 700 years later, and indeed even in our present day, except by the Spirit of God? Can you think of another explanation for the way that his words have been fulfilled? I don't believe it. Our city and our world desperately need hope. Hope is in short supply. And there's a whole generation of really anxious kids out there. While we have an abundant, glorious, life-giving, joyous hope. Because hope in the Christian life is not, oh, it might happen, I hope it will happen. Hope in the Christian life is, yes, it's going to happen, and I've put my hope in that. How can we have that hope? Because our lives were reset when we put our hope and our trust in Jesus, in his death for our forgiveness and his resurrection for our new life. And filled with the very Spirit of Jesus, we have seen Jesus, the light of the world, God's signal to us. And we have been redeemed from the nations, reset on a course for nothing less than a whole new creation. And so we give thanks with joy. And this, friends, is the essence of the Christian experience. You know, people chase all around the place for Christian experience. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It's right here. Joy is the Christian experience, even in the midst of hardship and trial. So I'm going to finish with Isaiah chapter 12, because Isaiah chapter 12 is the outcome of Isaiah chapter 11. This is where it all lands. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1, you will say in that day, notice the phrase again, you will say in that day, the day that we're in, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. How good is that? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Amen.